You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And folks, want to remind you, especially if you are into the Browns backers world, if that's a world you want to get into or a world you're thinking about getting into, you can join the largest organized fan club in the world. Check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level. With exclusive access, giveaways, and more, register for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. That's fans.clevelandbrowns.com. So go ahead and check that out, Dog Pound. You should do that, and you will thank me later. And I will accept your thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome in advance. All right, it's time now to hand out our grades on the defensive side of the ball, Matt. And I think this is not going to be nearly as fun for us or for the players on the defense as it was for us when we were addressing the offense. We're going to start with the defensive line of the Cleveland Browns here in this game against the Baltimore Ravens. Your grade for the D-line.
All right. Just so to make it very clear, I'm giving no one an F. Okay, no one on the defense side, no one on this football team will receive an F from me. The defensive line, I'm going to get a D+. D+, I do not think, obviously, again, C being average, C being a pass, essentially. They're going to get a D+. And the reason why is because it's just not good enough. We talked yesterday about losing the point of attack, not penetrating, kind of catching blocks, which allows the offensive team to kind of determine how they're going to control the football game. And we saw our defensive line, as we spoke yesterday as well, getting paid a lot of money, get controlled up front.
No question about it. I'm going to give them a D plus as well. You look at the defensive front, they were gashed by the Baltimore Ravens, who had their third and fourth string running backs, Lorenzo Talifiero and Justin Forsett, who ran for 154 yards between the two of them on 29 carries. They get up 160 yards per game on the ground. In this one, they are the 31st ranked rush defense in the National Football League, giving up 152.4. So they have struggled mightily in my mind, and this game was no exception. In terms of, you'd like to say, okay, so they didn't do the run defense very well. Did they at least get to the quarterback? No sacks from the unit up front. I will give them credit for two plays. I thought that you had a good job stopping the third and one and the fourth and one. Actually, three plays. And then Dez Bryant broke through with that big six-yard loss in the fourth quarter that helped. So the defensive line, I thought, was much better towards the end of the game than it was early in the game. But we need more out of Ataba Rubin in the middle of the field, getting pushed back off the ball. Paul Kruger as well. Armonte Bryant, who is one of my favorite guys on this team, has not been able to get to the quarterback. Not enough pressure generated up front by this front three in the 3-4. And I think this D-line needs to get it together and shore up this run defense, number one priority going forward. All right, the linebackers, Matt Wilhelm.
I've got them having a C. Again, C being average. I thought that we saw Paul Kruger play great in the first two games. I think we've seen big plays being made by Carlos Dansby. And I think the reason why they're just getting a C for this game is because there wasn't that highlight play in my mind to say that they were a difference maker. You know, we didn't pressure, you know, have a significant amount of pressure on Joe Flacco from the outside rushers. Paul Kruger, you didn't hear his name called. You haven't heard Jabal Sheard's name get called a bunch. And so they played an average game, so they're going to get a C in my eyes.
I'm going to give the linebackers a B. I actually thought they played a little bit better than you did in this one. And you see Paul Kruger, while he didn't get a sack this week, he got the hit on Flacco that led to the Tashaun Gibson interception. I thought Jabal Sheard was arguably the best run stopper in this game for this team on the edge. He did a good job there. In my mind, three quarterback hurries to lead the team as well. So those two played very well. I thought Carlos Dansby, when given an opportunity, we saw him flash, but I thought he also at one time got picked off by Dennis Pitta on the touchdown to the fullback. Also, you know, it's tough for linebackers to make plays when the team is already getting to the second level. So
I agree
think that makes it very, very challenging on the linebacker position. Craig Robertson, I thought, had one good blitz in there. Didn't quite get Flacco, but the team ended up losing a lot of yards on that play. So I thought that was good. They got a B for me. I thought they were more impactful in the first two games. But I'd like to see more Chris Kirksey. Want to see better out of him. I'm actually going to make it a B minus because I now am recalling the play where they did the pitch out to Forsett and Kirksey sucked in on a pullback dive.
Yeah, sure.
And he has no business going in there. So they made some mistakes there. But at the same time, they need help from the guys up front to make plays as well. So we'll see what happens there going forward. But this linebacking core to me is a strength. And they need to show up. But Paul Kruger, Jabal Sheard played well enough. Carlos Dansby as well to kind of pull that grade up for me to a B-. Now let's go to the defensive backfield. And I think this was a very mixed bag. So I'll be interested to see where the ultimate grade plays out for these DBs in your mind.
I've got the safeties. I kind of give them two grades. I give the safeties a C+, and I gave the corners a D. And the reason why is, again, I think Tashaun Gibson obviously being in the right place at the right time to pick off Joe Flacco, to flip the field, although we couldn't convert it. I think also, too, the corners, we've talked about it all show. You know, Justin Gilbert is still just finding his way in the National Football League. Joe Hayden's name is getting called upon at all those prime time positions to make those plays, and he has not. And also, too, Buster Screen, even though he was your surprise of the week this week against the Baltimore Ravens, he didn't do enough to pull that grade up in my eyes. And again, in a pass-fail league, these corners are failing more than they're succeeding.
Yeah, I think the defensive backfield, I thought I got a very positive game out of Tashaun Gibson for the second straight week. Right now, the best player in the defensive backfield for the Browns. I would have given him probably a B+ or an A on his game. I think that you go after that, though. Joe Hayden struggled from the level that we wanted to see. I think you're getting a struggle, obviously, a massive struggle from Justin Gilbert. I thought Buster Screen was solid. Dante Whitner, I don't know that he's been good. I don't know that he's been bad. He hasn't been as much as I would have hoped to have seen over the first three games. And hopefully, as he gets help up front, that'll free him to make more plays and not necessarily be obligated to play over the top of some of the guys struggling in coverage. So I'm going to give them overall this defensive backfield unit a C-, because when the game came down to it, they couldn't come up with a play that would seal the deal for the Browns. So they get a C- from me, and that's picked up, I think, in large part by the strong play of Tashaun Gibson. And I thought Buster Screen was okay as well. What did you give them again?
You could put them at C- as well. I had the safeties at a C+, and the corners at D. So we'll take the averages about a C-.
We'll go C- there. And finally, special teams. Special teams.
Special teams were not all that special, and that's why they're going to get a D-. The lowest grade that in my eyes that you could possibly give. I know this is a pass-fail league, and they failed us what seems like consistently. I will say this. The special teams players, meaning the specialists, the kickers, the punters, and the long snappers, are called upon to do the least, meaning they're playing somewhere between 5 and maybe 10 to 12 snaps a game, depending on how many times you punt or kick off the football. And so our expectations are for them to be perfect. You know, that's all they have to do. They don't have to focus on a different guy every week. That football is the same size every week. Those uprights never change. You know, the wind conditions and things of that sort can change, so that's the one variable. But I think that they should be the most consistent players on a football team because they have the least to worry about or the least amount of things that change. And we have seen, you know, we should not be speaking about them negatively. They should be the status quo of a football team, and they are raised up in conversations in all three of these football games for one reason or another, and for that reason, they get a D- in my eyes.
Yeah, I got to give them a D- too because I think they are big culprits in ultimately how this game played out here. The Browns, Billy kind of great on kickoffs, no returns there. They weren't able to return a punt either. Spencer Lanning getting good height on the ball. But when you come down to it, the fact that you had a missed field goal on a questionable snap, the timing was off there. That hits off the left upright. You then have a blocked field goal, which was a protection breakdown in your scheme on this field goal attempt, and something that almost happened against New Orleans, and that wasn't cleaned up from week one to week two. That hurts a lot. I thought the decision of Travis Benjamin to call for the fair catch and then let it go over his head, bounce at the 22, costing 15 yards of field position, was significant in that game. And in fact, he fumbled the earlier punt, but he was fortunate it bounced right back to him and he was able to get it back. But the special teams unit, as you said, was not special. And I think ultimately were very, very, very culpable in the loss for the Cleveland Browns. And when you hear a head coach say, you know, we'll look at maybe something with the long snapper. And I love Christian Allen. I think he's been very good for this team. But the last 2 weeks, you know, a high snap on the missed extra point, and then a low snap there on that missed 50-yard field goal. These are points that need to be on the board for this Browns team. They are not at the level where they can go out and give points away, and that's what happened in this game. With the special teams unit, gave at least 6 points away. That's the difference between winning and losing. Maybe 3 points was the difference between winning and losing in this game.
You're right about that, and I think that, you know, the margin for error in the National Football League is so small. But then again, looking at this roster and all the intangibles that go in, you know, rookie head coach, you know, new staff, new systems, new players, the margin for error on this football team is even smaller. You know, so, and again, as I said, something that you take for granted, these guys are supposed to be special. They're supposed to, you know, be on their game, you know, when their name is called. We have not seen that. So it wouldn't surprise me either if a change was made.
Yeah, we've got to see what happens. I hope it doesn't. I hope that they get a chance to figure it out. But I think if he does, this is a team that needs to come back and a special teams unit that needs to come back guns a-blazing under Chris Tabor and get this fixed and become an asset. It's complementary football. It's all three phases. And when you're a team like the Browns that don't have those explosive skill position players, you're getting the best you can out of your offense right now, and a tip of the cap to everybody associated with the offensive side of the ball, and your defense is subpar, you need those special teams at the very least to be competent. And on Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens, they were not, and played a big role in the Browns getting an L, and it's a pass-fail league, and you don't want to get that failure there. So hopefully special teams can pick it up in the future. When we come back, we're going to play a little after further review here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It'll be your last chance as well to get on board. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850, and get to us via the phone lines. Get your thoughts out. What are your grades for this team? Do you agree with our grades? Disagree with our grades? Let us know. And also, you can tweet the show, as you have been doing, at Browns_daily, at MattWilhelm57, and at Nathan Zagura. We'll be back with more of CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.